Hello, everyone. Dan Dillman here, bringing you a little of this, a little of that. Today's program, we're going to begin with our last road trip. Remember, we've been taking road trips in different places in the United States. And today we're going to end up our five road trips with a journey to Massachusetts, but especially to Western Massachusetts. We're going to begin our road trip in Athol, Massachusetts, and we're going to end in Williamstown, Massachusetts. And this is only a distance of about 60-some miles, 63 miles. Not a long road trip, but one that's crammed with history and beauty. So let's go down the road, and we see that other than a great cup of chowder, New England vacationers essentially want two things. They want a little bit of history, and they want a lot of foliage. You'll find them both on the Massachusetts Mohawk Trail, one of the nation's first designated scenic highways. The Mohawk people once used this byway across the Berkshire Hills as a trading route. And then armies from colonial Boston traveled it to defend the western frontier. Among the gems you'll find today, a Quaker meeting house in Adams, Massachusetts, which was built in 1782, and the nearby birthplace of Susan B. Anthony. They are both at the western edge of this one-day drive, which follows Route 2 east through the northwest part of the state. Natural and constructed beauty intertwine everywhere, as in the hills of Natural Bridge State Park, which is home to the only natural white marble bridge in North America. There's a bridge of another kind in Shelburne Falls, the Blooming Bridge of Flowers, a former trolley path teeming with hundreds of varieties of flowers and vines and shrubs. But drive on, and you'll encounter a hairpin turn that will make you feel as if you were on a roller coaster, twisting almost 180 degrees straight down a hillside. Not enough of an adrenaline rush? Well, try flying through the treetops on a zip line tour in Charlemont, if you prefer to be amazed with 2 feet firmly on the ground. Stop in Adams to marvel at the visual and performing arts offerings at the Massachusetts Museum of Contemporary Art. It's housed in the former Sprague Electric Company plant. And the Mass MoCA, as it's called, is one of the largest contemporary art centers in the country, with 28 buildings spread across 16 acres. It's home to indoor and outdoor dance, music, and theater spaces, as well as some of the finest large-scale sculpture exhibitions in the world. After all that man-made art, you'll be ready for more of Mother Nature's. It's only a 5-mile drive to the top of Mount Greylock, which is the highest peak in Massachusetts. From the observation tower at its summit, you'll get a bird's-eye view of the entire sweep of the Berkshires. You might even spot a bald eagle from your perch. It's beautiful. And now, a salute to Arlington National Cemetery. 3 million people visit Arlington National Cemetery every year to honor the 400,000 veterans and their dependents who are interred, inurned, or memorialized within its 639 acres. Arlington has the distinction of being the only national cemetery with service members from every major U.S. war and conflict. The property once belonged to George Washington Parke Custis, who was both the adopted grandson of our first president and the father-in-law of Robert E. Lee. His daughter, Mary Custis Lee, inherited the land, but when the Civil War broke out in 1861, the Lees abandoned their Arlington estate. The U.S. Army seized it to help defend the Capitol and then buried the North's war dead there as a further insult to the Lee family. Those early burials were racially integrated, but once Arlington became a national cemetery in 1864, all subsequent graves were segregated by race. That is, until Harry Truman came into office and he desegregated the military in 1948. All presidents can be buried at Arlington, yet only two are, William Taft and John F. Kennedy. Abraham Lincoln's son, Robert, is also at Arlington, despite his wishes to be buried beside his father in Springfield, Illinois. Robert's wife arranged his services and chose Arlington. Even though the cemetery conducts up to 30 funerals each day, Arlington isn't keeping up with the demand. Officials give priority to active service members over veterans and to military members over family members. The wait list is so long that months can pass between a death and the funeral. Arlington does not charge for funeral services or for the graves and their maintenance. The U.S. government also foots the bill for the white marble headstones that dot the landscape. And just before Memorial Day, soldiers placed flags in front of more than 200,000 headstones, as well as all of the urn niches. In addition to service members, there are war correspondents, chaplains, and military doctors, such as yellow fever pathologist Walter Reed, who was laid to rest at Arlington as well. And since the Geneva Convention mandates that prisoners of war who die in captivity be honorably buried, the cemetery is also home to one German and two Italian POWs from World War II. Among those buried at Arlington are boxer Joe Louis, he was an Army vet, actor Lee Marvin, he was a former Marine, and the architect of Washington, D.C., Pierre Charles L'Enfant, who joined the American Revolution. Glenn Miller, whose Army Air Force Band entertained more than a million troops, has a memorial, since he is still MIA. However, I should intrude into this description of Arlington and tell you that on a visit to Cambridge, England, some years ago, we were told that we should visit the American Cemetery outside of town because a lot of World War II veterans were buried there. And when we went there, there was a wall inscribed with the names of those who were interred at the Cambridge Cemetery. And of those, we recognized three that certainly drew our attention. One was Glenn Alton Miller, and the other, Joseph P. Kennedy Jr. And there was a third. It was dedicated to a Jewish soldier who was killed after the war was over in Europe. Probably the word hadn't gotten to his area before he was able to come home as he wanted to. Well, in 2013, Arlington launched a free mobile and web app, and it's called ANC Explorer. And this tool allows users to locate any grave at the cemetery and to view burial records as well as photos of the headstones and memorials. The app also provides directions to each one. More than 2,000 soldiers lie within the Tomb of the Civil War Unknowns. Inside the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, there are just three, one from each World War and another from the Korean War. An unknown Vietnam vet had been there as well, but a DNA test in 1998 revealed the soldier's identity as Air Force First Lieutenant Michael Joseph Blasi. Blasi was exhumed and reinterred in his home state of Missouri at his family's request. The guards of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier are also called sentinels. The guard on duty marches 21 steps down the mat between the sarcophagus, waits 21 seconds, then turns and waits another 21 seconds before taking 21 steps back. This routine represents the highest symbolic military honor, the 21-gun salute. Two of the memorials at Arlington are dedicated to astronauts. Months after the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded in 1986, the commingled remains of all seven crew members were buried there. The Columbia Memorial is dedicated to the seven astronauts lost when that space shuttle exploded in 2003. And then the cemetery is running out of room. About 95,000 burial spaces remain, but 22 million living armed forces members are currently eligible for them. Proposed restrictions to rules of eligibility will severely limit those who can be buried there. Far fewer retired vets, for example, but they will allow for continued burials for the next 150 years. And before we pause for a short break, here was an item that I came across, quite interesting. It's entitled Abolishing a Smile. Frederick Douglass was the most photographed man of his time. Reportedly photographed more than Abraham Lincoln. But there's one thing you'll almost never see in Douglass's photos, a smile. The famous American abolitionist believed that smiling would play into the 19th century stereotype of black people as cartoon-like objects of ridicule. Of the 160 known portraits of Douglas, he's smiling in only one, which shows him with his wife and his sister-in-law. Let's pause for a moment or two. Enjoy the music. In Consumer Reports newsletter entitled On Health, which comes out monthly, the November 2021 issue has an interesting article entitled New Ways to Control Your Cholesterol. Medication? Lifestyle strategies? Experts are learning that no one plan fits everyone. And so here's how to determine what may be best for you. So this first part then is kind of an introduction to that. And at a later time, we may be able to go into it in much more detail. But with age, our bad cholesterol levels are more likely to rise, and our good cholesterol tends to drop to lower than ideal. We've long known that this can hike the risk of cardiovascular disease, hereafter called CVD. Lifestyle habits, such as a heart-healthy diet, as well as exercise, are important, but can't always control cholesterol enough. So medication, notably a statin, the most common type of cholesterol drug, is often added. This group of drugs includes atorvastatin, which is Lipitor, and a number of others, fluvastatin, lovastatin, pitavastatin, and pravastatin are just some of them. Experts generally agree that adults with CVD should take a statin. There's been less consensus about people who don't have CVD but are at risk for it, especially those over 75. For years, they were left out of the equation, since people over the age of 75 were not usually included in the original trials for cholesterol-lowering medications. And as a result, some in that age group who might benefit from statins were advised against taking them. Others shied away over concerns about side effects, like muscle pain and damage, liver problems, and perhaps increased blood sugar. But studies in the past few years have included people 75 and older. A 2020 observational study, which was published in JAMA, that's the Journal of the American Medical Association, found that adults 75 and older who began statin therapy were 20% less likely to die of heart disease compared with those non-users. Still, questions remain. Older adults often take multiple medications which may interact with statins. And for some people 75 and older, the potential for side effects may outweigh the benefits, especially when cholesterol levels are only slightly abnormal. Many cardiologists and internists have now moved toward more personalized cholesterol management, where they discuss their patients' overall health and preferences. There really is no one set of rules for all older adults. what's normal and what's not. Ideal cholesterol levels are generally the same for all adults. And that means total cholesterol should be less than 200. Your LDL, or bad cholesterol, should be below 100. Your HDL, or the good cholesterol, of at least 40 for men and 50 for women. Those should be the numbers. And your triglycerides should be less than 150. So if you're reading your blood profile chart the next time you go to your physician, you might keep those numbers in mind. Healthy adults should have their cholesterol screened every 4 to 6 years, according to the American Heart Association. But if your results are borderline, or if you have CVD, it's best to get checked much more frequently. And if you already take a statin, you should be screened every year. Generally speaking, the American College of Cardiology, that's the ACC, and the AHA, advise statins for the following. Adults of any age with CVD, with atherosclerosis, that is plaque buildup in artery walls, or a past heart attack or stroke. The goal is to get your LDL under 70, and even lower is better. If you already have heart disease or have had a heart attack or stroke, you should aim for at least under 70. Under 55 would be ideal. And many adults with type 2 diabetes, for those between ages of 40 and 75, the ACC and the AHA advise moderate intensity doses of statins, like atorvastatin. For those with multiple risk factors, such as high cholesterol and high blood pressure, this would be so. Over age 75, a statin might be reasonable, but if you've discussed the risks and benefits with your doctor only. And finally, adults ages 40 to 70 with an LDL of 190 or above, in this case, the AHA and the ACC recommend the highest dose statin that you can safely tolerate. So again, if you would like the same information, it's in the Consumer Reports newsletter on health. The truth about what's good for you in the November 2020 issue. There's much more than we have time to cover today. So you take care, and we'll be back in just a few moments. I hope you found today's program informative and useful. And now, just a few highlights of what's coming in the near future and the next several programs. One is about nature. You can be thrilled by what you don't know, or thrilled by what you know and have never seen. And so we're going to talk a bit about nature. And then we'll be talking about Europe's most fragile young democracies being in trouble, and the lessons we have learned, hopefully, for the next pandemic. I don't like to say it quite that way, but it's possible in the future. And so we need to be prepared. And finally, we're going to talk a bit about the mystery of TV's vanishing middle class. If you notice, in watching your TV programs, there is very little about the middle class in these programs. We have the poor and we have the very rich, but the middle seems to be disappearing. More about that at a later time. And so now, it's time for my friend and I, Willie Nelson, to hit the road again. We're looking for more items to include, a little of this, a little of that. We hope you've been entertained, informed, and sometimes amused. But we want you to take care. Remember, we work for you. And you'll find us at 101.5 FM on your dial. Don't be hesitant about joining us, because we'll try to keep you up to date on a lot of things that you don't normally see in today's paper or hear about on TV. And so with that, my friends, we're going to leave you and wish you a very good day. The sun is out for a change, and so we all feel much happier about that. So it's time for Willie and I to leave. Willie, take us down the road again.